we chose to incarnate into this period of Earth's history because of the fact that it's a crucible. You know, this is a time when we have experiences of those kind, loving, compassionate people. We have the experiences of the cruel and incredibly violent people, and they're all together in this crucible. And so we've chosen to come in here. Our souls chose for us to come into here so we could learn lessons in this environment. And so then that's the reason that we're having these experiences. But eventually, humankind then will be changing to the point at which it will be more loving and compassionate. But it's not going to be for a few centuries in which that happens. But humankind is very young. But during this period of time, we chose to come here because we wanted to make it. We wanted the difficulties. We wanted the problems. And so here we are. We've got them.
Welcome. This is Mind the Shift, and I am Anders. In this timeless episode, in this eternal reality, I am thrilled to introduce you to Dr. Craig Hogan. Welcome to the show, Craig.
I'm very happy to be here. I'm anxious to talk with you about things that we need to talk more about and people need to understand. So anxious for this to go ahead and get started.
I agree. These are very important questions that we are going to talk about today. You are an expert on the afterlife and afterlife communication. You're the president of the Afterlife Research and Education Institute, co-founder of Seek Reality Online, and author of 10 books, I understand, about the afterlife and afterlife communication. Is that about right?
That's right. And always writing more. And now we're devoting our time to trying to put things online for people at seekreality.com. So we're making it into a digest that gives people information about this life, about the life after this life, and the transition that we make.
Yeah. Super interesting. So there's a lot to unpack, but I will just take the bull by the horns and ask to start off here. Why do you think, Craig, that we are so afraid to die? And how does that affect the way that we lead our lives?
It's a misunderstanding. People don't realize the fact that when we make the transition from this life to the next life, we're just going like from childhood into adolescence or from adolescence into a young adulthood. It's just a stage of transition in our lives, and we needn't worry about it. We needn't be fearful of it. What happens is that we then, when we come to the end of this life, the body stops functioning and we go into a period in which we transition from this life to the next life, and there is no pain. It happens seamlessly. It's not difficult. And people just need to realize that. So for the first time in humankind history, we're beginning to wake up to this reality, to understand the truth that we know now about the life after this life. And so what we're trying to do is to teach people about it, because there's so much of a good message for people, a hopeful message to let them know they needn't fear the end of this life.
But how do you think this has affected our way of living, how we live our lives, and what would the world look like if everybody was aware that we are actually immortal?
The problem is that people think that this life is all there is to life, that whatever they get out of this life is all there is, and as a result of that, then they don't realize that they are going to continue after this life ends and that they will be able to live their life on. So if they realize that, if they knew that that was true, then they could live this life differently. They could be a different husband, a different wife, a different father, a different son. They could be different people, but they don't realize that. And so because they think this is all they're going to get out of life, they try to take everything that they can out of it. They pursue things selfishly. And once people realize the fact that we are eternal beings, we're having a physical experience, then they will live their lives differently and treat the people around them differently. And that will make all the difference for humankind.
In what way would they live their lives differently, would you say?
Well, they're going to treat people differently because they realize that people are in this journey with them, We are brothers and sisters in this journey. We're all going through it together. We're learning lessons together. We're understanding things that we would not have known otherwise if we didn't realize the fact that we are eternal beings. And as a result of that, then we can take our lives less seriously. We don't have to struggle for what it is that we want in this life. We can enjoy this life. We can learn lessons and grow in love and compassion and have wonderful, pleasant experiences in this life. And we can do that together if people realize that they needn't be the top dog. They needn't be on the top of the pile. They needn't gather things for themselves over other people. Then life will be different on planet Earth after that.
Yes, I can imagine that. That would be amazing. So you have, do you call them clients, or you have people that you have in training programs in at Seek Reality Online, right?
Yes, on seekreality.com, what we've done is we've put together a digest. We're trying to bring out all of the videos and audios and the articles that we discovered that are teaching people about the truths about this life and the next life. And we're putting them all together on one website. So all of the latest information about what we know is there. And there is a great library of it. There's much information now that we're learning. People are learning new things every day. And they put them on the YouTubes, or they put them on their own websites. And we're bringing that together into one place so that people can learn about the realities about this life and the next life. It's seekreality.com.
Excellent. Yes, we'll put the links in the description box, of course. And so what do people mostly ask about when they come to you? And what do you tell them? And how do they react? How do they change when they get this information, gather this information, and realize that there is actually a life after death? What's happening?
Yeah, the two foremost things that people are asking is, how is my loved one who has transitioned from the earth? Where is my loved one? How is my loved one doing? Are they suffering? Are they in some place of torment? Are they in heaven? And so they ask the questions about what's going on with my loved one. And the second question they ask is, what's going to happen to me? What will happen to me after I come to the end of this life and I leave the body behind? Where am I going to go? What position will I be in? How do I know that that's true? And these are the great questions that people ask. And it's important they realize that we have the answers today. We know for a fact what's going to be happening at the end of this life, their transition to the next life, and what their life is going to be like in the next life. We know that their loved ones are there. We know how to communicate with them if they want to communicate with them. And all they have to do is learn how. So if they can just understand these truths, that they will continue after the body dies, and they will live in a wonderful life with their family, with their pets, with everyone whom they love, then that will make a tremendous difference in their lives. When all of humankind understands that, then we will treat each other differently. We will understand that we are co-journeys on this plan and this effort that we're involved in now. Then we will live our lives differently with them, and they will love us more, and that will result in much more love and compassion on the earth.
Wonderful. So let's talk about those truths then, and the facts and the science perhaps as well. Mm. So what are some of the most salient proofs that you tell people, that you talk about, that tells us that you and I will never die?
The most important truth is when people receive communications from their loved ones, people whom they actually know, whose bodies have died, and they watched the bodies die. They went to the funeral, and the person was not on the earth anymore. And when they receive communication back from them, from the life after this life, then that's the proof that they need to understand that we continue. And so now today we have many, many reports. We have thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of reports of people speaking to their loved ones from the life after this life. And we have reports of acquaintances just who suddenly have the person who has left their body come to them and speak to them and spend time with them. We have Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who was one of the 20 most influential women of the 20th century. She had a woman named Mrs. Schwartz who had passed into the next life a year before she spoke to her, and she came up to her, walked down the hallway with her, and went into her office and had a conversation with her. So that was a fact that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, of all the people whom we can trust for what they would say, she had that encounter. Dr. Raymond Moody had an encounter with his grandmother. She just walked into the room, had a conversation with him, and then walked out again. And J.B. Phillips, who was the translator of the New Testament, he said that C.S. Lewis came to him and sat down and spoke with him and gave him a message that was very meaningful to him. So these are some examples of people coming from life after this life. We have direct voice mediums. We have a direct voice medium in the 20th century who was named Leslie Flint. And Leslie Flint would sit in a room and voices would come out of an ectoplasmic voice box that was on his shoulder. And it was the person in life after this life would speak to their loved one who had come in to sit with Flint. And so we have, for instance, people come in and describe to their loved one sitting with Flint what they were doing the day before, what they were doing on the way there to meet with Flint, on what they were doing in the week before. And so they talk about their contemporary lives, what they're actually doing. And we actually have the audio recordings of those now. So we have the recordings of the people from the life after this life speaking to their loved one, sitting with Leslie Flint, and they are proof that they are alive and well. We have 15 other methods of afterlife communication that are resulting in the same kinds of testimonies, the same kinds of experiences. When a loved one from the life after this life comes, speaks to the person, verifies that it's them, and then they know that life continues after this body dies. And then we're making those available to people, and people can learn for themselves that people don't die when they come to the end of this life. They just continue and transition into the next life.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting that you're talking about these verifications, these corroborations mm-hmm. of practical things, hands-on things that mm-hmm. These entities from the other side never would be able to know about if it weren't real, so to speak. And then, of course, there are the NDEs, near-death experiences. You are also gathering those, I guess, I suppose.
We are gathering information about the near-death experiences. And the near-death experiences are wonderful because of the fact that when the body succumbs, when the body is no longer viable, it goes into a death process. And the brain waves are not there, the heart is not beating as it should, and so then the person is, for all intents and purposes, dead. Their body has died. But then their minds are very active. Their minds are remembering things that are happening to them. They're going through experiences that they say are more vivid than they have in their normal daily life. And so they come back after they awaken, and they describe these to the physicians and the nurses who are around them. And so we have many, many of these accounts that show us that the person was alive, even though their body had succumbed. And that shows us that when we drop off our bodies, every one of us will, that then we will just continue. We will be more alert than ever. We will be happy, we'll be contented, and we'll be in the presence of the wonderful people who love us, who have been waiting for us in the other life. And the NDEs, the near-death experiences, show this, that's true.
Yeah. Yes, I've had a couple of experts, researchers that are experts on NDEs on the show, so I've talked at length about that, which is a fascinating mm-hmm. topic. Mm-hmm. And of course, I suppose that most of the people that come to you and to come to Seek Reality are, they have lost loved ones and they want to get in touch with those and they want to know what has happened to them. So perhaps not many skeptics, quote unquote, come to you to ask these questions, but that would be interesting in a way, because then it would be fascinating if you could see somebody who was a materialist, a physicalist, a true skeptic, and did not believe in these things, which is a bit strange in my view not to believe anything about it, but anyway, to hear these stories and then change their minds. Have you experienced that? Have you seen that happening?
Yes, we've had that happen many times, and throughout history, actually, as people study mediums, then we have the accounts of lawyers, of scientists, of professors in the humanities, studying mediums and studying the messages that they've given at length. And what they do is they come away believing, they come away realizing the fact that they continue to live after the body dies. And the medium accounts are proving that to them. So we have many of these accounts, and the number of people who are scientists, who are professors of the humanities, who are counselors or physicians, the number of people who are now coming to realize this truth is growing every day. And so we're continually having accounts of people come in with an open mind, look at the evidence, and when they come around to it, then they realize the fact that they will not die, we will not die, and that we continue after the body dies.
Have you yourself obtained any of this information that you have from the other side, so to speak, subliminally, or have you read about this and become convinced, or have you always known these things since you were a kid?
No, I've had many experiences in which I have myself communicated with people living in the life after this life. I've communicated with my family. And I also have been in circumstances such as a materialization medium. A materialization medium is a medium who sits in a room and to people from the life after this life materialize. They actually come into the room and they materialize and speak to people who knew them there, their loved ones who were sitting in the room. And so the materialization mediums are doing a wonderful job of helping people to understand that their loved ones are not dead. They're not gone. They simply have changed form. And so I've been in circumstances in materialization medium seances in which I've had people who were living in the life after this life who came in. They had one who put his hand over the top of my head to let me feel his hand and how broad it was. And then a few minutes later, another individual came over and did the same thing. And I've had people come and stand in front of me and speak to me in the materialization medium seances. And so we've had these experiences, and I've had many of them. What they do is they just reaffirm what I've learned to be true, that the people who are living in the next life will communicate with us. They will come to us. They will spend time with us. All we have to do is get into the right circumstances, such as a materialization medium or a direct voice medium, or even learning how to do it ourselves. And then we will have the communication, and that will prove to the person the fact that we live on after the body dies. We have a free online training program that is helping people to learn how to have their own afterlife communications. We teach them how to use a form of self-hypnosis. And when they learn this form of self-hypnosis, they can sit down any place and just quiet themselves and close their eyes and have a conversation with their loved one. We have many thousands of people who are doing that now. So people need to realize that that's available. They can learn how to do it themselves. All they have to do is go to seekreality.com to find out about it.
Yes, that's good advice, I suppose. But if you just could tell us a little bit, but just go a little bit deeper into the techniques here. How would I, for instance, go about if I wanted to contact some of my past loved ones?
Sure. In the training program, we have a training program that's in 8 stages. And the first 2 stages tell people about the process, about what's going to be happening. The third stage, then, we teach them how to sit down and relax and allow things to come to them, just allow things to unfold to them. And if they'll just open their minds, empty their minds of all of the daily routines and all the daily problems and allow things to unfold to them, then they will be amazed at what comes to them. And when they learn how to allow things to unfold, then they can ask their loved one to come to them. Then they can relax and say they'd like to have a conversation with their loved one, and they can start the dialogue with their loved one, and then they will get responses. What they have to do is learn that when they make a statement or they ask a question of their loved one living in the life after this life, they'll get the response immediately, and it will be all in one chunk. Mm-hmm. It is one message. They don't speak in words. It's telepathic. So they give us the whole message at once. So as soon as somebody says something to their loved one or asks a question, they will immediately get the response and that they will know what it's true. And then they can respond back and they continue that dialogue. It's very fast because they give us the messages instantaneously.
It's like kind of a download or something like that.
Yeah, it downloads it to us. And in some cases, they will get the message while they're asking the question or even before they ask the question because the person in spirit is responding to what they're thinking, not to what they're saying. So all the person has to do, anybody can do this. We have a tremendous success rate. It's 86% successful for people who go through the training. All they have to do is get used to emptying their mind, asking a question or making a statement to their loved one. The first notion of, that comes to them is the response, and then continue the dialogue. It happens very fast. We also teach them how to use automatic writing. In automatic writing, a person sits with pieces of paper, sheets of paper, it might be 12 pieces of paper, and a pen. And they relax and go into the state of mind in which they can have the communication. And they start to scribble down. First, they scribble down what they ask or what they say. And they don't worry about legibility. Don't worry about what it looks like. They're not trying to read it. They're just scribbling it down. And then the first thing that comes to their mind, they scribble that down. And that is the message. That is the answer that they're receiving. And the reason that that's good is because having to write it down kind of bypasses the conscious mind. It keeps the conscious mind out of the way. And so what they can do is if you get used to doing automatic writing, then you will learn how to communicate because the communications will come very quickly, very fast, and they keep scribbling. You don't stop scribbling. And then once a person learns to do this and they get into the zone, then after a while, they don't even need to scribble. They just need to move their pen across the page and then they'll be getting the messages. And I use automatic writing. Many mediums use automatic writing. And when people learn how to use automatic writing, they can carry on dialogues with their loved one living in the life after this life.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So is it? It seems as if it's akin to some kinds of, it's akin to some meditation techniques. Would you say that anybody who's meditating deeply would be able to get access to the afterlife and communicate with dead ones?
Yes. So in meditation, you do the same thing. What the person does is to relax the mind, to empty the mind of all of the daily woes and the problems and just relax the mind and go into a meditative state. In a meditative state, then, they can have a dialogue with their loved one. All they have to do is start the dialogue, and the person in the life after this life will pick it up, will start to join in with them. So we have one woman whose name is Maria P., who was an administrator. She's a lawyer, an administrator in San Diego. And she taught herself how to meditate so that she could have conversations with her loved ones, her two boys who were killed by their father. Mm-hmm. And so then she learned how to do it. She now goes on daily meditations in which she has these dialogues with her loved ones, with her sons who are living in the life after this life. And she wrote a book about it. It's called Journey to the Upper Realm. It's available on Amazon. And in the Journey to the Upper Realm, she describes in great detail how she taught herself how to meditate and have her conversations with her sons living in the life after this life. She goes to a place that she calls the Upper Realm. And in the Upper Realm, and then she sits with them and she jokes with them and has fun with them and talks with them. And she spends time there in the Upper Realm while she's meditated. When she finishes meditation, then she comes back out of the Upper Realm. And her book explains how to do that. Anybody can do it. We know that these methods are successful. There is one method being used by psychotherapists in which they put people into this state of mind in which they have their own afterlife communications. It's 98% successful, virtually successful for everybody. So we know, based on all of these methods of communication, that every person can have a wonderful communication with their loved one living in the life of this life. They just have to learn how.
Wonderful. So let's talk a little bit about what it is, the afterlife, and what it isn't. So is first off, is the afterlife the same as the quote unquote before life? I mean, do we return to the same realm that we once came from?
We need consistency. We need to understand things. So when we go into the life after this life, what it's like is very much like our earth life. And so then we'll enter circumstances that were like our earth life. And in the afterlife, then there are different nationalities who are in different places. So there would be people who are used to more Eastern form of life. And when they go there, then the surroundings are just like that, the houses, the streets, and then their loved ones are there speaking in the same language. And after a while, then they drop the language. They don't need to use language anymore. They use telepathy to communicate. But at first, when they come in, it's very much like the earth. Many people say when they communicate back to us, they say they didn't realize they had even gone on to the next life. It was just seamless. They were all of a sudden, and they were here one moment, and all of a sudden they were there the next moment, and they didn't realize, because it's so much like the earth, that they had left this life and gone on to the next life. But it's much like the earth, but much better. There are no problems. There are no old people ailments. There are no difficulties that they have with their lives there. And so then the lives that they experience are much the same as the lives here, because their loved ones are there, their pets are there. But they are having a life which is much more wonderful than this life.
But do they describe it as in some ways, actually physical, like this life?
It is completely physical. It's just as physical as this life is. So people have bodies and they walk around and they have the same enjoyments that they had in the earth plane. If they enjoyed driving cars or driving boats, then those are available to them. They go into the cars or the boats and they move around. And so their bodies are exactly the same, just as solid as they are in this life. What they do say is that they don't know if they have any internal organs. They don't have to worry about that, because there's no surgery. There are no ailments. So people don't really realize that the bodies that they have are the bodies that they would have had in their 20s or 30s, in their prime, when they were on Earth. And so when people communicate with their loved ones and actually see them, they say they looked just like they did in an old photograph that they had of their mother or their father. And that's what they look like. Their bodies are the same bodies that they had when they were in 20s or 30s, with no defects. There are no defects in the life after this life, no ailments. And so then what happens is they can use the body in the same way they do on this side of life. People can, if they want to have a glass of wine, they can have a glass of wine. If they want to eat, they can eat. If they want to have sex, they can have sex. So that the functions of the body on the life after this life are exactly the same as they are on this side of life.
Okay, yeah, I've heard similar stories from people who've had NDEs and who have met deceased relatives on the other side. They say that they look like that. But maybe it's not actually physical, but it appears physical to those who live in that realm, and they can utilize it or use it exactly the way that they want to do.
It's actually physical. So
it is.
In this side of life, we say that at the basis of this side of the life, there are atoms and subatomic particles. And those then are the basis. The basis is the same in the life after this life, but at the basis then it is the same atoms, the same molecules, the same functions. So they're exactly the same. It's just that the basis for them that we don't realize on this side of life, our basis for them is consciousness. So consciousness underlies our reality here. And in the same way, consciousness underlies the reality there. So when you get down below the atoms and the subatomic particles, then you get to the energy that is life, that is on this side of life, it is consciousness. On the next side of life, it is again still consciousness. So our bodies are just as solid. They're exactly the same way as they are on this side of life.
But then the question arises, of course, this might be a naive and stupid question, but then if it is physical, as you say, I mean, I'm with you when you say that consciousness is primary and everything arises from out of consciousness. I think so too, and many scientists do nowadays. But then the question arises, where is that place? Because I have the impression that maybe we don't go anywhere when we die. We're just here. We're in the same exact place, but it's just in like in a different dimension, if you will, or something like that.
Yeah, what it's because say? Of the fact that, we have a tendency to think in terms of geography.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Space. Yeah, and so when we go someplace, we have to go through space. And so if we go to another country, we have to get on a plane, and we have to go through space to get there. But it isn't the same when we change from one realm or one reality to another reality. All it is a change of focus. In the same way that we can be looking at a waterfall and then turn around and look at a mountain, all we've had is a change of focus. So we're still the same place. We're still the same person. We've only changed focus. And so that's what happens when we go on to live in the life after this life. All we're doing is changing focus. Mm-hmm. It's as though we were bringing up a different memory.
Or maybe it's you've heard about the radio dial analogy. That you switch the dial on the radio from one station to the next. It's very close by, and it's the same apparatus, but it's just you just change the frequency in a way.
Yeah, we take that for granted. We don't have to go someplace or travel to go from one announcer to another announcer.
No, exactly.
Using a broadcast device. And it's the same thing happens in our transition to the life after this life. We don't go anywhere. We just change our focus. So mentally, we become changed. We go into the life after this life, but physically there is no space that we have to go through. We don't have to travel someplace to get there. Then sensation that people have in a near-death experience of traveling, of going through a tunnel, those things are for the benefit of the person who's having the near-death experience, because the near-death experience is only near death. And so then they are still in the body, and they're still have the characteristics of the body, and that means going to someplace. And so that's why we have that experience. But when we actually make the transition, when we actually have a death experience instead of near-death experience, then all we do is change focus. There is no need to travel through a tunnel or any of that sort of thing. It just happens that we are here one moment, and then suddenly we're there the next. There is no pain at the transition. So the transition is seamless and easy. The person feels no pain. It just happens. And most people are surprised to find that they're someplace else, that they have made this transition into another realm. So it's a different change. It's a change of focus. That's all it is. It is not a change of location.
That is super interesting. Now, from what I understand from having heard and the accounts and other people who have delved into this topic, is that when you die or when you have a near-death experience, perhaps maybe it's only when you do that, you come to a kind of a heavenly lobby, if you will, and it's a wonderful place, and you can meet your loved ones, your deceased loved ones there, and you can, as you say, play around in wonderful landscapes if you want that, and so on. But that is not the real afterlife, because that takes place further off into yet another dimension or something like that. People talk about the white light that they approach, and they meet some kind of entity. Some people interpret that as God or Jesus or Buddha or whatever, mm-hmm. who speaks to them and says that no, you can't go here as yet, because it's not your time yet. You have to go back. So that there is there are tiers or layers to this. What is your understanding about this thing?
Yeah, now those are characteristics of a near-death experience.
Okay.
So the death experience is different. What happens in the death experience, it depends on the individual. It's entirely different for every individual. And so we have many different experiences that people describe when they come back and talk to us about what happened to them. For some of them, if they were in a catastrophic accident or if they were in war and their body was exploded, they may continue on the earth plane without even realizing that they have left the body. So we have one man who was in World War I. He was British, and he described, before his passing into the next life, he described jumping up out of his foxhole and and going across no man's land. That's where everybody gets killed, because the Germans are fighting on one side, the English are fighting on the other side. And so he describes jumping out of the foxhole, going down into no man's land. He's firing his rifle at the Germans as they're coming towards him. And suddenly he realizes that the Germans are running past him. He doesn't understand what's going on. They're not firing at him. And so he goes further and he jumps into a foxhole and he falls asleep. And then he wakes up and a soldier whom he knows comes to him. And that soldier was killed in battle 2 months before.
And he knew that he was killed.
Understand. He didn't understand what happened, of course. So then he then was told that he had gone on to the next life. He was no longer in the body. But what happened was he was still on the earth plane and acting as though he were. He was running across towards the Germans. So that's only one thing that happens. Some people will go to sleep, though. So they'll make the transition. They'll go into a sleep. It's 2 or 3 days. And they may wake up in what's called a convalescent area, in which they then are going to be given help. People are going to help them to understand what happened to them. And then their loved ones will come to them in that area, and then they'll go away and live with their loved ones. We have other stories of people waking up in a field. One man woke up in a field, and he didn't realize what had happened to him, and he saw somebody coming towards him in a distance, and it turns out it was a horse that was coming to him. It was his horse, Nelly. And Nellie had been his horse. He was rag and bone merchants. He had his horse, and she had died, and he was just couldn't get over that. But there, when he woke up under a tree in the field, and there was his horse, Nellie, coming to him, and they had a wonderful reunion. So for every individual, it's going to be different. There are many different ways that we wake up in the life after this life. But all of them then happen very seamlessly. They are very easy. There is no difficulty in the transition. And everybody's joyous when they wake up to discover that they're in the next life.
Yeah, wow. Those that are still, that stay on the earth plane and don't really actually understand that they have passed, are those souls what we traditionally call ghosts?
So some people who stay on the earth plane, then they become earthbound. And earthbound means that they're staying on the earth plane, but they're not going on to the life after this life. In other words, what they call it is a second death, when the person leaves the body and is still on the earth plane, but then makes the transition into the afterlife. But the person who then stays on the earth plane may stay here for a great variety of reasons. They may have unfinished business. They may be, they don't want to leave the sensual pleasures of earth. They're afraid they're going to go to hell. So for any of a great variety of reasons, they don't want to go on. So they stay on the earth plane. And they, while they're on the earth plane, then they're doing things that they would normally do. They walk around, they ride buses, they go to church, some of them. And so they're doing these things, but they don't, some of them don't realize they have passed on to the next life. They just think they're going to wake up. They're dreaming. Others then know that they've passed on, but they just don't want to leave the earth plane. Now, some of these then, because they're trying to get people's attention, they become poltergeists. Mischievous ghosts. Yeah. And a poltergeist is just trying to get the people's attention in whatever the location is. So they may make things, make noises, and they may bang pans, and they make things fly across the room. And so then the poltergeists are earthbound people. They are people who were alive. They have gone into the next stage of their lives, which is still on earth, but they're no longer using a body. But then there's another category of what are almost like demonic influences. These are thought forms. They are thought forms that are negative. And these thought forms that are negative are produced by humankind. They're produced by people or groups of people because of the anger and the violence that's on the earth now. And so then these thought forms have their own identity, and they will want to impede people's progress. They want to make problems for people. And so these are the ones that are the hauntings. These are the ones that are making things, throwing things across the room and making it difficult, scratching people and that sort of thing. These are not individuals who were on the earth plane. So there are a great variety of things that happen. There isn't just one thing that happens, but all of them then result in eventually, if the person is living and has lived on the earth and has made the transition, they all eventually will go into the life after this life. And that is where they'll have this respite, this period of time in which they can rest after their toil on earth. And we will all experience that. It isn't that some good people do and bad people go to someplace else. And that just doesn't happen. We will all go there after we've left the earth plane.
So what is the main purpose of this sojourn? Is the earth a school of a kind?
We are in earth school. And the purpose of earth school is to teach us lessons. So we're learning lessons here. We're growing in love and compassion, and we're enjoying the experience. But the teaching us lessons is the most important part. Before we were born into this life, our souls and guides and other people who are interested in us got together. They had a planning group in which they planned our lives. They planned who we were going to be born to, what our circumstances would be, the struggles that we might have. And all of these were intended to teach us lessons. So we're learning during this lifetime. And once we come out of this lifetime, then we can share our learning with others that are in our higher self. And then the higher self continues to grow. We're growing as a humanity in this way. So all of us are going through this experience in Earth School. We're learning lessons. We're learning to grow in love and compassion, and then eventually we'll go back and we will be changed people. And in changing ourselves, we're changing humanity.
We are reincarnating time and time again, I suppose.
Yeah, the reincarnation is misunderstood. We're getting the messages from people living in the life after this life about what reincarnation really is. We as individuals will always stay the individual we are. So when we go on to the next life and we continue growing after that into eventually after many, many thousands of years, then we will become celestial beings, then we will still be the individuals we are. We won't reincarnate in the sense that we'll come back to the earth plane. What happens is that they tell us now that the person then is part of a higher self. And the higher self has many, many people in it, thousands of people in it. And the higher self then will, when people get together to plan a new life, they will take pieces from other lives. So then there was somebody who didn't learn a lesson in a previous life. And what they will do then is the planning group will take a pieces or a framework from that life. And the framework or the pieces will go into the new life, the person who is coming into the earth plane. And so then that person coming into the earth plane will learn the lessons that should have been learned. We'll find out the things that didn't find out. They will grow in love and compassion as the person didn't when they were on the earth plane. That's where the affinity comes from. That's where the past life regressions come from. When people have a past life regression, what they're doing is they're looking at that other person's life because they're intertwined with them. And so then that they then will learn about the other person's life, and they will grow from learning about that other person's life. And then
so they kind of tap into that other person's.
They'll tap into that other person's life, right? And this is not voluntary. They don't realize this is happening. It just comes to them because they're intertwined. They're joined with that other person. And so that's where past life regressions come from. So reincarnation doesn't mean that we then are going to come back as some other person. What it means is that they will be another incarnation, another person who comes into this life, who is joined with us, is intertwined with us. And then they are going to learn lessons based upon our lives. And that's why we have an affinity with them. That's why we have this feeling that we are joined with them. We can have a past life regression, for instance. But we do not reincarnate in the sense of coming back again and again to become another person. We always stay the individual we are throughout eternity.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense because, I mean, some people who are materialists and skeptics, they have said, well, how can you explain that we were 500 million people on this planet a few thousand years ago, now we are 8 billion people? So, I mean, if the over soul or the higher self, or the, as you are explaining here, there are layers to this, decides to incarnate more aspects of itself, that would result in more individual persons on this physical plane, I suppose. Is that correctly understood?
Yeah, that's correct. And they describe it, what they say is there are millions of planes. There are millions of spheres or planets or planes or whatever you want to use to describe it. So the afterlife and this life is only part of the afterlife. There is really no afterlife. There's only life. And so then this spiritual plane that we're on now, it is only one of millions and millions of spiritual planes. So there are, if you want to do the math, you can take all of the 8 billion people and you can say, well, these other spheres, every one of them has 8 or 50 or 100 billion people. And the afterlife, the life after this life, all of the spiritual planes are vast. And that's the way they describe it to us. And so we needn't think about, well, you know, there's a certain number of people. How come more people? And isn't it going to get full? And it just doesn't happen that
very,
way.
Very, very hands-on and concrete thinking there. Right. But so we can incarnate, or we, I mean, depending on how you define we here in this context, you can understand that that's a very vague concept. I or we can incarnate on other planets as well, other physical planets than the Earth? Or are we who are here now, are we maybe more connected to this specific planet? Do we have more to do with this specific planet than other planets?
That's right. So in other words, we come off of the Earth plane as one of these many millions of planes. So we come off of the Earth plane and we go into circumstances that are like the Earth plane. We need to have them. We need to have some consistency when we go from this life to the next life. So we'll go into the next life and it's just like the Earth plane. Other people who were in other realms would go off into their next transition, their next life, and they'll be like those realms. They'll be like those planes. And so what they do is they describe the Earth as the nursery. And then from the nursery, then we go into the next life where we take all of the learning that we've had on the Earth plane and we expand on it. We learn more. We continue to learn as we go into the next plane. And we're in different circumstances. And we're with different people. And so as a result of that, then we're still learning lessons. We're still going on in the process of becoming the person whom we will become. And we eventually will become a higher celestial being. And we've left the Earth plane behind entirely at that point. But as you say, then in any of the realms, the people who are there will go into an afterlife, a life after their life, that is very similar to the life they lived in that realm, which in many instances is going to be very different from ours.
Have you learned from entities in the afterlife or from other places how and why humanity arose on this planet?
We are here to learn lessons, to grow in love and compassion, and to enjoy the experience of being here. The reason that humankind exists, the reason that humankind is in this vast universe, the series of universes that we have, is so that we can accomplish those purposes and grow in love and compassion and change all of the universes. So we actually are evolving all of them at once. And our purpose in doing that is so that we can have these experiences. We have wonderful experiences on the Earth plane, and we will continue to have experiences. And that fulfillment, that wonderful time that we have when we have these experiences, is our reason for being. It is the reason that we're here. It's the reason that humankind exists. It's the reason that all the realms exist. And so we are continuing to grow. And eventually then we ourselves were experienced being a celestial being. And at that point, then we will have freedom and we will have no difficulties and no problems. And we'll be able to go on to that level. So all of it is about the process of growth. All of it's a process of becoming, of growing into the person that we can become. That's the purpose of life.
Yes, I was thinking about it more in an evolutionary sense, you know, how Homo sapiens emerged. There are so many discussions about that, as you know, and there are ancient texts telling things about entities from other planets coming to Earth and manipulating DNA and all sorts of things. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that or any knowledge about that, what actually happened, because I mean there are many animals today still living today that look exactly the same as they did millions of years ago, and apparently something happened with this particular species that is Homo sapiens.
What they tell us from the other side, the people who come through, is that what we see as unidentified flying objects are actually beings. There are people who we will meet. Mm-hmm. So we will have correspondence with them. And they are saying that it's going to happen very soon. And so we expect that we will have those correspondences with them. There, as far as the evolution of the Earth and what happened in the evolution of the Earth, what quantum mechanics has taught us, one of the things that it's taught us is that when we collapse reality from probabilities or possibilities into a reality, then we not only collapse reality into what we experience now, we collapse the history of reality. So that, for instance, in Schrodinger's cat, when Edwin Schrodinger made a thought experiment in which he said, well, what happens if we put a cat in a box and we put in some cyanide capsules and we put in the Geiger counter, and when the uranium that's in the box then decays, it will click off the Geiger counter, that will open the canister of cyanide, and the cat will die. So what he said was that quantum mechanics says that when the cat is in the box and we're not looking at the box, the cat is both alive and dead, that the cat is in a status of probabilities, and could be alive, could be dead, we just don't know. When we open the box, then the cat is either alive or dead, and reality collapses at that moment. In other words, reality is chosen at the moment that we open the box. We didn't know whether the cat was alive or dead before that. So what happens also is that it collapses the history. So whatever the cat was doing in the box, if the cat was dead, then you wouldn't expect to see much movement. You'd still see food in the bowl. You wouldn't see scratches. But if the cat was alive the whole time, then you would see scratches and you would see evidence that the cat had been there. The whole history of what happened with the cat collapses into reality at the same time.
Yeah.
So as far as we know, the entire history of the Earth before humankind is simply something that collapses into reality because we're looking for it.
Oh, yeah.
We're looking to see what the history
is. That's so fascinating, yeah.
And because we're looking to see what the history is, and we need to have a history because the Earth realm is all causes and effects. Mm-hmm. Something happens and something results from it. Because of the fact that there is a history to everything that we do, then the history of the Earth collapses at the moment at which we experience it. So the explanation is that there was no need to have this sunrise sunset over 13.7 billion years in order to have the universe as it is now, that whole history of the universe collapsed into our reality, into our understanding, at the moment which we experience it, at the moment at which scientists looked for it.
So as history looks to us now, or to scientists, and as the Big Bang looks, it's just the way it looks when we search for it, when we study it, and when we are conscious of what we're looking for, then it looks like that. And that's why if we would have seen it in a different way, then history would have looked different to us.
Yeah. And so then when we look for something, we will find it. So the further down into the atom we can go, and we've discovered some subatomic particles. When we went further down below, we found strings. All of that then is a result of cause and effect. It happens when we look for it, then we will find it. In the first millennium, when Ptolemy felt like there were crystalline spheres around the universe, and on the crystalline spheres were planets and the moon and the sun, and they were on these crystalline spheres, and Earth was the center of that universe, then that was what they believed to be true. That was their truth. And so when we looked into it and we found out more from Copernicus and Galileo about the fact that the universe is, that the Earth is not the center of the universe, then we had a different understanding. And then that was true. And so the truth that we find, as we find the truth, it collapses into our reality. Mm. And that includes things like the dinosaurs and all the other things that are in the history of of the Earth. They've all collapsed into reality. It doesn't mean that they had sunrise, sunset, day after day during that period of time. It's simply that reality collapses into existence when we observe it.
Yeah. It's like, I think it was John Archibald Wheeler who said that this is a participatory universe.
Yes, right. Wheeler wrote
right. Wheeler, yeah.
Yeah, Wheeler was a quantum physicist, and
I think was a theoretical physicist, but well, he was close to that area anyway.
I think, yeah. So then he said that we are in a universe that we are creating. We are helping to create it, and the way that we're helping to create it is that we collapse reality into what we see, out of probabilities and possibilities, by being conscious observers. We are the observers of the universe. So that when we go into a circumstance, it collapses into the reality that we experience because of the fact that we are there. We are conscious beings that are there, and we expect reality to be there. So we are participants in creating this reality.
Yeah, we are creating a reality. Speaking of changing history, a change of history and a change in the way we view the world, has humankind, as you understand it, at some point back in history, I mean, if to the extent that history actually exists, mm-hmm. known, had the knowledge, the gnosis that we are immortal, and that this idea that that we will die and that death is final came into our minds at some point. So for how long have we not known this actual reality?
Yeah, but we have evidence of the Neanderthals having burial rituals, and we can't know what was their understanding, but we surmise that they did believe that their loved one continued to into the next life. So we knew that those realities were there. We know that the civilizations, the Egyptians, for instance, all had a very strong belief in the afterlife. And so we know that that has been perpetual. It's always been true of humankind. We have lost some of that in the past 400 years because science told us that it's nonsense and people believe that. But it has been throughout the history of humankind, people have had that understanding. But today, for the first time, we are understanding what happens at the end of life, what happens in the life after this life. We have understandings that humankind never had. So we are in the most mature state of understanding the life after this life that humankind has ever had.
So do you think that we are actually right now returning, slowly returning, or maybe fast returning to an insight that we once had?
I think we're going far beyond it. So it is true that the insights about the life after this life and the fact that we continue, they were for a while lost. They were not as prominent. The church had taken over in the West, had taken over spirituality and understanding what happens in the life after this life. And that skewed our understanding. That changed our understanding. And so humankind was kind of on pause in understanding the life after this life. And so that pause continued as the church became stronger. When science came along in the 17th, 18th centuries, and they said, well, you know, that you don't need to have religion. Religion isn't important because we know that there's nothing here but this life, and that's all there is, and it evolved naturally, and you will eventually then you will come into nothingness, which is what you came from. And so then science tells us that, and so that kind of interrupted it. Then the church didn't have the influence over spirituality, and science then was telling us there is no spirituality, that there is nothing beyond the physical realm. And so we have really been stunted from the time the church took over to the time that science took over. And now we're breaking out of that. We're exploding out of that. We're learning new things every day. So now we're understanding for the first time what we know to be true about the life after this life. And it's glorious. There are wonderful messages that we're understanding now. Life is much more wonderful. There's no need to feel fear about the end of this life. There is no end. It's only a transition. And so now, for the first time in humankind's history, we're really understanding the end of this life and the life after this life.
So are you anticipating now some kind of a new earth arising within the next few years, maybe?
I would say within the next few centuries, we expect that there will be an evolution. In other words, what we're learning, the lessons that we're learning now, that humankind is learning, are making changes. We have democracies in the world today. We have human rights in the world today. All of these things are evolving towards a humanity that is going to be much more full of love and compassion than it has been. We chose to incarnate into this period of Earth's history because of the fact that it's a crucible. You know, this is a time when we have experiences of those kind, loving, compassionate people. We have the experiences of the cruel and incredibly violent people, and they're all together in this crucible. And so we've chosen to come in here. Our souls chose for us to come into here so we could learn lessons in this environment. And so then that's the reason that we're having these experiences. But eventually, humankind then will be changing to the point at which it will be more loving and compassionate. But it's not going to be for a few centuries in which that happens. But humankind is very young compared to the history of the universe. So we have lots of time ahead of us for things on the earth plane to change. And then other people will come in because they've chosen to come in when it was during that period of time. But during this period of time, we chose to come here because we wanted to make it, we wanted the difficulties, we wanted the problems. And so here we are, we've got them.
Fantastic. So Craig Hogan, where can people go if they want to know more? I know you mentioned the website before, but do it again, please. Where can they go if they want to know more about the Seek Reality and your work?
Yeah, go to seekreality.com, Seek Reality, all one word. And there you'll find the information, you'll find our biographies, and you'll find our books and all of the articles and the videos and all the information that we have gathered together that will help people to understand that we are spiritual beings. We never die. We go on to the life after this life, and it's a wonderful life that we will enjoy with our loved ones. All of our pets and our loved ones are going to be there waiting for us, and people just have to realize that that's true, and that's what SeekReality.com is all about.
Thank you so much for joining the show. It's been a pure joy talking to you, and keep up the good work now.
Yeah, thank you. I've enjoyed it.
Hello, my friends. If you like this video, don't forget to subscribe and don't forget to hit that like button and share the video with your friends. Please support the channel if you can. I appreciate all the support. You can become a Patreon for as little as $1 a month, or you can make a one-off donation via PayPal if you wish. All the links are in the description box below. Thank you.